turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You'll remember that 1 Corinthians has a theme, and 1 Corinthians 15 has a theme. It's all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a verse of challenge and responsibility to us in verse 58, which reads, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord." Very simple promise. Because of the resurrection, and at the time of the resurrection, the resolution or the restitution of all things. At the time of the resurrection, there will be the explanation, if you like, of all things. Until then, we don't know as we ought to know. So the question is, what do we do in these times of confusion and uncertainty that we live in the year 2025, and the saints lived in all through the years? What do? And the answer is, we keep on serving the Lord. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What do? Keep going. We've been singing a lot, we've been meditating a lot this morning on the fact that we want to do the Lord's will, but we don't always know what the Lord's will is. As a matter of fact, the Lord's ways are so great, Scripture says they are past finding out. And sometimes we sort of figure out that we think we know what the Lord's will is, and so we pretend that that's what he's going to do, and he doesn't do that. Have you ever noticed that? You say, "Lord, this is what I think you should do, and this is what I'm praying that you will do, and Lord, you didn't do it." That's a very common problem. Why is that a common problem? Because the Lord's ways are so much higher than our ways. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. It would take ages to explore just a drop of its vast ocean. Do you ever get to the point where you say, "I thought God should have done this, and he didn't do it"? Or, "I think God should do this, and I don't think he's going to do it"? And we sometimes get to the point where we say, "Lord, I think you should start taking some instructions from me." Now, what's wrong with that? Well, the problem is, God's ways are so much higher than our ways that we don't understand them. I think that that is a problem really throughout all of the Christian life. You remember the story of John Mark, don't you, in the book of Acts? John went along with Paul and Barnabas, and he went along to serve the Lord, but when he got there, he found that the going was pretty tough, and persecution was arising, and a lot of distress was coming up, and he thought that God was going to be doing it differently, and so he went home. Some said he might have even gone home because he found that his mother's cooking was probably a little bit better than some of the stuff that Paul was able to put together for him when they were traveling. What did Mark do? He turned around and came back. Became a mighty man of God when he finally realized that God's way, God's will, God's power was greater than his. Demas was that way. We read of Demas that he departed having loved this present world. And his heart just was, I think he learned a little bit about the Lord, maybe more, that the Lord didn't always have an easy path for him. And therefore, he said, I'm going to go away. Sometimes the issue is great for those who are more mature believers. Sometimes a mature believer says, you know, I've served the Lord for a long time, and now I'm in the midst of a big problem. Or I've served the Lord, and I thought he was going to, and he didn't do it that way. And we could become upset because God didn't do it my way. You would never want to get to that point, would you? But often those who are very great get that way. Remember now, there was a man by the name of Elijah, and he'd seen the Lord do marvelous things, especially on Mount Carmel, when the forces of Balaam were defeated, and the people responded with the phrase, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah felt that he probably was going to see a miracle take place. What he did find out, I guess that's just a little too loud. The fact is that Jezebel said, you'll be dead this time tomorrow. And he thought, well, that victory on Carmel wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. But he turned and ran away. And then, in sincerity, he said, Lord, I think you should take my life. Can you imagine that? What was wrong? Well, he forgot, I think, for just a little bit, that God's ways were far greater than his ways. Don't try to tell God what to do. What did we sing this morning? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Now that's hard for us to do, hard for the sinner to do. He's on the street and he's doing all kinds of things and he's got to learn God's will be done. And William is unconscious for 20 days. And at his lowest point, he says, God, help me. And it doesn't matter where you and I are in the Christian life, at the very beginning, at the very top, we always have got to be reduced to this simple line, thy will be done. Remember the story of Jonah? Where was Jonah? Well, in the spiritual scale, where would you put Jonah? At the bottom? In the middle? Or? And the Lord puts him almost at the very top. He compares himself. He says, you know about me? I am even greater than Jonah. Wow, Jonah was way up there. But Jonah also was disappointed in God. God didn't do things exactly the way Jonah wanted him to do them. Jonah is still God. Sorry, God is still God. Jonah is still, he doesn't understand at all. And explaining the problem to Jonah, his problem to Jonah, the Lord said, Jonah, don't you remember there are 120,000 people in Nineveh who don't know their right hand from their left, which probably means they're so young they haven't learned it yet. And God says, Jonah, don't you think I've got to love those little children too? Jonah says, I understand, Lord, but you realize all the devastation that's falling on your people, Israel, and all the problems they're going through because of these wicked forces. And the Lord says, I understand all that, Jonah, but I also understand there's 120,000 over here. They need my love too. How many people are in the world today? Well, I don't think anybody knows for sure. The estimate is roughly 8 billion. Do you know anybody who understands the problems of all those 8 billion? And the answer is, yep, the Lord. Do you think it's possible that the Lord might be doing something for some of those 8 billion that you might not understand? And that might be the reason why his actions in your life and my life are not exactly the way we want. He's got a responsibility in order to bring the blessing to others. The logic is in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. The Apostle Paul in Romans does a great job of trying to outline the plans of God. And in chapters 9, 10, and 11, he tries to outline the responsibilities that the responsibilities that he has towards the Gentiles and the Jews. And in verse number 33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Well, our objective in life is to learn all we can about God. But when you get to the point where you can't necessarily understand the precise details of how you fit into that, don't worry about it. God's plan is a huge plan. And so in chapters 9, 10, and 11, the apostle explains what God was doing with the Gentiles and with the Jews and how they got together. And the way they get together is absolutely remarkable. And God shuts off the gospel to the Jew for a while in order to present it to the Gentiles for a while, in order that the Jew would become envious of the Gentile and trust the Lord. And we would say that's not the kind of logic that I expected to come. But that's the logic of chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans. And so Paul says it's so absolutely wonderful. And so we're going to praise the Lord. When you get to heaven, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to learn all the details of the wise. You'll go to God and you'll say, now, Lord, thank you very much. I'm glad I'm here. But could you please explain to me why I had this particular difficulty that day? Could you please explain to me why my circumstances in life were different from her circumstances in life? I tried to do what was right and my circumstances were hard. And that person didn't really care very much about you at all. And her circumstances were easy. Why? What do you think we're going to find out when we get the answer? We're going to say with Paul, I'll read it to you again. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's what you're going to say when you get all the details explained to you in heaven. You'll say, oh, how unsearchable were his judgments and his ways past finding out. I couldn't understand it all, but I can sure praise you for it now, and I can understand it now. What do we know about God? And we sang it, didn't we? Oh, the great, great love of Jesus. It will take ages to explore. And we'll be wondering about the love of Jesus and marveling at it throughout the countless ages of eternity. What does a Christian do in the difficulties of life? Answer, he remains steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As I've probably told you before, I often go back and ask myself the question, what is the responsibility of 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel? What should we be doing? If we were to do anything, would it work? And so I've got a little more history here than many of you. So I've gone back and I said to myself, what is it we've been doing? I made a list the other day of 19 different things that we do at the chapel. We preach, we have Sunday school, we have ESL classes, we have Bible studies, and on and on and on it goes. I made a list of, I think, 19 different things that we have done. And then I said to them myself, I said, now, of those 19 things, which were successful and which were a failure? And I said, further than that, I said, you know, some of them appeared to be a failure, but in every one of them, I can think of somebody who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, and they're praising the Lord today. What do we do? Do we completely understand what the Lord is doing in the year 2025? No. Can you completely understand what the Lord is doing in your life today or yesterday? No. Do you sometimes get pretty concerned about what the Lord might be doing in your life tomorrow? Yes. Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because we don't know what he's going to bless or how he's going to bless. All we know is that when we labor for him, he does bless. Souls get saved. Hallelujah. Don't be... I'm trying to think of the verse and it isn't coming. Don't fail to do well. Ecclesiastes were told, cast your bread upon the waters and you will receive it after many days. You go ahead and you serve the Lord. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, don't hold back. You don't know whether this or that or both will prosper. That's what the Lord says. Now here's another one. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. Don't faint. Don't say, Lord, I'm gonna keep going. When I fully understand you, then I'm gonna do something. No, you're not gonna fully understand. You're just gonna simply obey. And you're gonna say, Lord, I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being part of the family of God. We thank you for the privilege of beginning to understand, God, that we acknowledge that we don't understand it all. And our prayer is that you'll make us humble enough to be obedient today, just to go about your work. Lord, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and we got the rest of the day. We pray that every one of us will say, in the rest of the day, I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be true, not just of today, but the week. And may it be true of the month. And may it be true of the years that lie ahead, as many as you might give us in your will. Lord, we pray that we might be a people steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because though we don't know everything, we do know this. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.